This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and we are on a field trip. I love doing field trip shows. We are at Razorback Armory. This is the Gun Concierge of St. Louis, and if you have never been, hopefully by the end of this conversation, Jesse Rolfes is one of the owners of Razorback Armory. We can get you in here. Charlie Dalton is also going to co-host, since Mark Cox is out this week on a road trip, spring break, whatever that is. But this segment, heck, this show is brought to you by Razorback Armory, loyal sponsors of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors for a long time. Oh, we could talk fishing too, Jesse. You love to fish. Welcome to the show. Gentlemen, how are you guys?
Good. How are you, bud?
Good.
Looking forward to fishing myself.
Are you a fisherman too?
I live for it.
Oh, my God. Ice fishing? You ever ice fished?
I don't drink that much.
I don't have that much Carhartt.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things. I grew up in Minnesota, and ice fishing alone is just, it's a whole different animal. People camp out on their lakes for, you know, weeks at a time. It's a cool experience. I've never had, like, the little cabin on the ice. I always sat out there by myself with no shelter. You know, like real men.
Freezing. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. We're at Razorback Armory because leading up to the month of March, Jesse, you were telling me that SIG has really come in full force with some really cool things and some specials for customers that come into Razorback Armory on Manchester Road, just east of 270. You got to come in and see the show, or see the store. Tell me what SIG came to you with and said, hey, let's do something, kind of a March craziness, if you will.
So usually we do a SIG days. So it's one day, just a Saturday, you know, open to close, SIG specials, SIG reps here, lots more SIG product. This year, for the month of March, if you come in and buy a SIG weapon, okay, so suppressor or firearm,
long arm, yep.
So if you buy one of those, you get entered into this final thing where there's four prizes. It's like a four prize final. You also get, if you mention the ad, or you mention the, you know, if you mention the radio ad, you mention the social media ad, SIG gives you a tumbler with a bunch of SIG swag in it, knife, stickers, all kinds of good
knives
stuff.
Knives too?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so you get that no matter what. But if you buy something, you get entered in this drawing for these final kind of four prizes.
Right.
Which is 500 rounds of 9mm, or 500 rounds of .223, or 500 rounds of .300 Blackout, or SIG Romeo 1 Pro, so an optic for like your top of your pistol, for your SIG pistol. So that's going, that's anyone who purchases during the month of March, mentions one, either the radio, social media, one of the
mentions
ads.
Mentions this interview, this mentions conversation
this interview right,
here. Right
now, come and see me. You get entered in that. The 29th will actually be SIG days at the end of the month, and then anybody who buys a SIG product, whether they heard this, saw the, you know, did anything with that, or saw one of our ads, you'll actually get some other free stuff then. Usually what SIG does on those days, they give you a little swag and like 100 rounds for you, the firearm that you bought.
Right.
But we just wanted to continue it out the whole month, but do it something a little bit special for anybody who actually follows our social media, listens to the radio programs and that, give them a little extra.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you have to negotiate this, or did they kind of come as Santa Claus and said, hey, we got something?
Actually, it was funny. So our SIG rep, my personal SIG rep lives here in Missouri.
His name is?
Jacob Weidman. And he's,
I was with you guys.
Yeah. So he's always doing stuff for us, and we kind of mentioned to, hey, we want to do some SIG stuff for the month. And he goes, all right, how much stuff do you want to give away? You know, what do we need to do? And SIG's a great company. They make a great product. You know, we're not trying to sell trash and then give you toys on the backside of it. They make a great product. They really stand behind their product, and whenever a shop needs to do something, they usually step up for them. And we move enough SIG product that they're willing to really step up and put some ammo out there, some cool, it's a tumbler, you know, SIG tumbler, SIG knife, bunch of SIG stickers and stuff, just for buying it that day, plus you get entered in the drawing, so that's pretty nice.
Well, Charlie is in sales, and so I always worry when they say, tell them to mention that they heard it on the radio, because people forget that part.
Yeah.
So what happens if somebody comes in and is so enamored by the SIG Sauer products, and they forgot, Bo Matthews said...
You got to tell me that. That's how we know that the marketing's working.
I do know what you're talking about. And it's not just important for this show and here at Razorback, but it's important for everybody you listen to on the radio. You should let the people you go and visit, those sponsors, that you heard it on the radio. That's important for all radio.
It is. Here's a test. Has anybody said anything about the commercials yet this month?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. It does work.
So, no, it does work. I mean, and and it's not every SIG product that we've sold.
Right,
but
right.
But, of course.
Do you ever ask?
I do. Not this month, because, you know.
you don't want to give away.
You got to give away.
All the time. Well, come on.
I want them to work for it a little bit. But, no, yeah, I mean. Usually when people come in, we ask them, you know, how'd you hear, especially if it's a new customer,
how'd you
hear about us, different things like that.
So let me ask about the comparison, because the two leaders, I would say, in the handgun world are SIG and Glock. Mm-hmm. Is one more than the other at this point, or is SIG trying to get to that point, or is Glock fighting?
I think SIG's overtaking Glock from the diversity of how much SIG product there are.
Right. I mean, Charlie, do you own a SIG?
I do not own a SIG.
You know what? We are right here at the store. This is how this guy works. This is how this works.
You know, Glock makes a great firearm, and they've been around for a long, you know, forever, in the early 80s, mid-80s. But, you know, they're kind of in that, they make Glock pistols that look a certain way. You know, and they're great guns. SIG makes, you know, rifles. They make... You know,
optics.
Bolt action rifles, they make regular semi-auto, they make AR style platform stuff, they make pistols, they make their classic line. They keep innovating with the 320s and the 365s.
Oh, yeah.
They've got every different model for those. Then you've got your optics for them. They have their own ammunition.
Silencers. Jeez, they're into everything. Does Glock have their own silencers?
They do not.
Glock
doesn't do that. They don't. They like their gun. And they're really proud of it. And it's a great, here's the thing, it's a great gun. I mean, I've worked on them. I'm a Glock certified armorer. Been to all the courses and that with Glock. And it's a great firearm. But it doesn't fit everybody.
Yeah.
SIG doesn't fit everybody. You know, if they were, they'd be only two games in town, right? But I mean, HK's got a different feel. Smith & Wesson's got a different feel. You know? So everybody asks, what's the best gun? It's the gun that is comfortable for you, that you can operate, that you can control.
That's where it starts. Yeah. That's where it starts. Yeah. What's your carry?
And that's the great thing about a shop like this. You can come in and handle the guns, and they will help you find one that fits your hand.
Right.
So whether you're a man or a woman, they're going to find the right gun for you. When you leave here with it, you're going to know that you've made a good purchase.
What's your preference for a carry?
I actually have a 380. Of course, you put me on the spot.
Doors?
No. It's the...
You should know this intimately, you know.
I know.
I'm just...
Gosh darn it.
Like second...
Sorry.
It's like second nature, right? I mean,
but
even when you're standing in your underwear in your bedroom, hey, you gotta see how that feels grabbing... Because you don't know when crap's going to hit the fan, as they say.
Yeah.
You got it?
Still don't have it.
A Taurus 380 is my...
380?
Yeah.
Ruger? LCP? Or,
that's it. It's a Ruger.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Very common.
Yeah, I've got it. No, I've got a Ruger, too. But you know what? The more I hear about the 380 caliber... It's really not enough punch. I mean, it's nice.
Better than a sharp stick.
It's better than a rock. It's better than a sharp stick, but it's comfortable. It's small, right?
It will get me back to my truck.
We hope, right?
And once I get to my truck, then I have a Smith & Wesson.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so, he's a Smith & Wesson guy. Now we know. Yeah. I'm getting to know him, too.
I got you. That's the thing with concealed carry firearms. There's a give and a take. I mean, the smaller they get, the more compact they get.
Right.
You're going to give up a little bit. What you gain in concealability, you're going to give up necessarily in
caliber.
Optics sometimes, because you're going to have a very rudimentary optic, maybe just a line across the top of the slide when it's a 2-inch barrel, but you can really put it, you can pocket carry it inside the waistband. You can really stow it down where it's very concealed and very comfortable, other than a full 5-inch target gun.
Right. Well, and I've showed you my American Firearms, the foldable one. Now, that one will sit in your pocket. No, like it's about the size of your keys.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, they even have belt buckles.
Yeah, North American Arms.
North American Arms. And I love this little gun, but I know it's just not enough. I mean, it'll just tick somebody off.
At an arm's reach, holes in vital organs generally stops the person that's trying to be mean to you.
That's a good way to think about it. And again, that's my better than nothing gun.
That's right.
So the 380, I think, is a good choice. It's also a good choice for women because smaller hands, mm-hmm. smaller, conceal. But you know what? When we're here thinking about what's...
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sig puts out there. I remembered it was just, 2 years ago that they had a lady, specifically the Rose.
Correct, yeah. Lena
Rose, yeah.
Lena Mikulik.
But the Rose was...
That's her series.
Yeah. And she's still involved with the company, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah, they still make Rose products. As a matter of fact, this year, limited production, I haven't seen a lot of them, but they're doing an AR. In rose accents, yeah.
And literally roses are engraved on the firearm. It's beautiful, not that you need that as an accessory to wear, but, I mean, if you have it a little, pretty, it might lead them that way. It's actually pretty cool.
I would like to see that. My girlfriend would be interested. The first date I ever took her on was a shooting date.
Really?
Well, we're a little older, and she's a widow. She'd been married before, and I figured she'd been on a lot of dates, so I thought, what's something she's never done on her first date? So I took her out shooting clay birds.
Yeah.
She was very consistent. That's the way we're going to stick with this.
Okay. it's a learned behavior. I've gotten into trapping and skeet shooting myself in the last year and a half. But yeah, you need to look at that. You might sell two guns today, this man right here.
There you go.
No, that's good. But Lena is a competitor. And so when it comes to... we always strive to talk about familiarity and practicing. Ammo's cheap to get familiar with it, but it really is that repetition.
Even
Dave Marshak, Sheriff Marshak, mm-hmm. in Jeff County, he said to me, when it goes down to your lowest level of training, when your elevation of
when the anxiety and the stress hits, your muscle memory, your fight or flight, there's a lot of things that start to kick in that you have control over, but a lot of people don't have really good control over.
That's right.
If you practice on the range and you're like bullseye practicing where you pull the gun up and you're aiming, and then you break the round off and it goes and hits, 10 ring.
Right.
And you shoot another 10 ring and 10 ring, that's great. Now have somebody spin you around three times, shake you up a bunch, spin around, and you got 2 seconds to put a round in that target. You'd be lucky to hit six,
right.
If your thing is you want to go to the range and it's calming to you and you like to shoot bullseye
bowling,
great,
yeah.
And that's perfect. But for training, for using a concealed weapon or using a weapon in defense, it's hard to get in the exact scenario where someone's shooting at you or someone's trying to harm you. You have to, you have to bring up your level of training a little bit so that if and when that happens, it's not so much of an absolute surprise to you. You know, this is what I need to do. I need to, is it a situation where I need to pull my weapon? If it is a situation and I need to pull my weapon, now I need to be able to defend myself. I need to stop the threat.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to, be a marksman and all this stuff. You need to stop the threat. You need to put distance between you and the threat. If that is, you know, shooting the threat and moving backwards and getting away, that's great. But it's not always, it's not like the movies. It's not about you're John Wick and you're going to go through the room and take out 8 bad guys. And if you are, I would suggest not being there.
You bring up a good point. Do you guys watch Reacher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great show,
just
right?
Started,
that
yeah.
big behemoth of a dude.
Yeah.
Are you into the second season?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the even bigger behemoth, yeah. they call him the Dutch Giant.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I've noticed in Hollywood, what they put up, because, you know, and we and on the show, we are going to talk about suppression because Hollywood tries to make you think it's actually quiet when a firearm goes off, and it's not. It's close. It's better. But I've been seeing, I haven't gone through a training class to explain to me, usually when you're in a pistol situation and you're shooting, and I think of that guy in the mall where the guy come out of the bathroom with an AR and the kid, remember it was like a Brandon challenge or whatever they called it, where at 60 yards, can you put this guy down?
He developed rounds on target in an incredible fashion, in a stressful situation.
A lot of people
under control with not a moving target like he's running side to side, but a moving target and developing rounds on target. That got it great.
That was awesome. So what I've noticed on Reacher, because I do watch that show, is they're not long arming with their pistol. They're more up close. The pistol's actually about 6 to 8 inches away from their face. Is that a new thing?
There's different disciplines, if you will, when you're shooting and when you're developing your sight on target. Instead of going full extension straight out as far as you can, that's going to limit your side to side.
Okay.
So if, you know, usually on those shows, there's multiple aggressors. You know, you're getting attacked by 8 people from several different angles. So when you see, you know, they come up, they develop right here, they shoot, and then they're going to pivot and shoot. Your pivot point is when it's a little bit closer to you and you're still on your line of sight is good. When you're way out here and you're broken out, you almost got to pull it back to come back around.
Right,
this is more of just a true swing or swivel.
Okay, so I remember years ago, CPR got away from the mouth-to-mouth and just went the compression thing, staying alive, all that thing. And that's what it made me think of. And I didn't know if that was a real thing or not. And I know some people that are in the combat, you know, they're operators, they do that. But I haven't asked that question. So thanks for explaining that.
And it's how you, again, at a certain level, it's how comfortable and fluid you are with moving the gun.
Right.
If you move the gun better and you punch out with it all the way and you're developing those targets because your core body movement is good, great. If you're staying close because you're swinging and you're trying to keep your head on a swivel and, you know, you don't want to get tunnel vision.
Good point.
You do not want to just focus dead straight on just this person, especially if there's multiple people, because as much as I need to stop you, they're trying to aggress also. So
right.
you've got to be able to, you have to assess multiple targets at one time and then formulate the best scenario of how do I stop multiple targets, and is it, you know, developing, you know, two rounds,
could be,
one, two, you know, and then you have milliseconds to process all that, which then after the fact, like law enforcement, there's months to tear it all apart and tell you what you did wrong.
Wow, yeah, of course.
You know?
And so, you have somebody doing that.
Exactly.
Somebody at the range or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
And there are great experiences out there at different gun ranges. Now, the range, the indoor shooting range, which I think you sent a lot of people to for practice, is great. But if you can get an outdoor, like Asymmetric Solutions does that, they've got the big place in Farmington, real, you know, life, you know, experience, as close to lethal as it can get.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember back in the early 90s doing paintball in East St. Louis at the old Stockyard.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, your adrenaline gets going, but again, it's paintball. It's not.
You still don't want to get hit with one of those.
No.
Especially in the knuckles.
Yeah. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
But I'm sorry. It sounds like training has changed a great deal. When I was in the Coast Guard, just about everything we did was straight arm.
Yeah.
But we went through different scenarios. We shot down passageways, and we learned how to use a ricochet shoot with a shotgun. And that was actually my weapon of choice when I was boarding, you know, M16 or shotgun. I always grabbed the shotgun. Because in close quarters, I just felt...
excellent reaching.
For one thing, when you cock that gun and that slide hits, you know, you talk about stopping the threat. That's one of the most intimidating sounds any person that you're confronting is going to ever hear.
Yeah, pump shotgun breaks language barriers.
Yes, it does.
Very well.
I back in the 80s, I had a 357 Magnum, and when Terminator came out and he had the short pistol grip shotgun, I was at a gun store, and I actually traded my 357 for that Winchester Defender is what it was called. Yeah. Still got it to this day. Love that gun because that it's interesting. Okay, before we end this segment of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors and move on to talk about silencers, Tom Cruise's Reacher or this other guy's Reacher, who's better?
I don't know, man. I kind of like the new guy. I mean, Tom Cruise, I keep thinking it's going to break out into like what's his other the 007, his other
Mission Impossible
guy is going to show up, but this other guy, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does, it's hilarious.
It is.
Yep, I like the big guy,
the Dutch giant. But if you look closely, and I've done the math, he's like 6'3", so he's a good size. He ain't 7 foot like them, and they put a bunch of small actors around him.
Yeah.
Anyway, stay right there. We've got more from Razorback Armory with Jesse Rolfus and Charlie Dalton. You actually have a great cowboy name, by the way. Actually, you both have great cowboy names. Holy crap. Here I am amongst two cowboys. Stick around. We got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next. All right, we are back on location at Razorback Armory. We are just east of 270 on Manchester Road. If you've never been here, you've got to come in. So I want to talk about silencers because Jesse got me addicted to my first one, which I started off small, and I think you wanted me to go to the 9mm first, but I said, well, let's start off with the 22.
Rimfire is the most addictive, yes.
It is, and because ammo's cheap and all that stuff. Well, not cheap. The subsonic is a little bit more, but you get the full effect of what a suppressor can do.
Yep.
Charlie, got to ask you, do you have a suppressed firearm?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, you're in the right place if you do. First of all, I want to talk about the process.
Okay.
Because when I put in for it, I lost a steak dinner bet with Chief Wiegand out in Eureka because I said, oh, I'm going to get mine first. He said, I'm going to get mine first. Well, he ended up getting his first. Now that I say that, I haven't paid up on it, but I will pay you, Chief. The process has changed a lot. Is it because of the new administration that we have?
No, not this part of it.
Okay.
It has been changing. It's been evolving since the last 17 years we've been able to have suppression. In the last 2 years, with the full digital process, with e-forms and e-file, our side of it, where we actually develop your accounts, we start your file, I do your fingerprints, your photograph.
Right here in the store.
I actually make sure, there's a couple of key things, I won't give all the secrets away because I know all my competitors are listening, but there's key things that you have to do to a file to make sure that it's correct, to make sure that it will fluidly go into the federal government. They will process it, and it will come back, all right? Their process with eForms eFile is not perfect, but it's what we have. On average, I get month and a half turns. Okay. I get 24 and 48-hour approvals. The new line in the sand is 4 months. If you get to 4 months, we can do basically like a congressional inquiry. It's help with a government agency. Eric Schmidt, Josh Hawley, Ann Wagner's office, they've all got people in there that will help you with a government agency. They will, on your behalf, call ATF to task about why it's taking so long with your file.
For one individual?
For one person.
Really?
Yes, okay. And we do have to, so being the largest suppressor dealer in Missouri, we have to use this. It's not every day, but it does happen because it falls through the crack. And the best that we can figure out is that in their digital system, they never look for a lost file. So your file's out there, and if you call them and you call the 1-800 number and you swear wait on hold forever, they're going to tell you it's pending, and that's all they will tell you. When Eric Schmidt's office calls them, that's not an acceptable answer.
Okay.
It's why is it pending and where is it? So they have to go find it. Usually if you use that avenue, you'll get it in 2 weeks. It'll be processed and you'll have it in two weeks.
Wow, okay.
The thing, though, is you can't use that avenue in like 2 days.
Right.
They have, basically, you gotta let them screw up so that they can call them to task. It doesn't happen all the time, but the nice part about it is we actually have an avenue now. Before, it was, it's pending, you gotta wait.
Yeah.
It's pending,
there's
you gotta wait.
There's no suggestions there was of why no, or anything.
Yeah, there was no real call to task. I had a backline phone number to a lady that worked up there. She has significantly moved up the chain, so she doesn't take my call anymore because she doesn't have to.
Pam Bondi, please answer the call.
But the process, so once you come in, we talk about what do you want to suppress, okay? Then we start developing a good shooting solution on what's going to work with your weapon, what's going to work on a host of weapons if you're looking at that. I'll develop the files for you. We'll make sure that all of your accounts are right and all of your accounts are readable by the federal government.
Right.
Fingerprints, photograph, and all that. I develop all that. We send it into them. Once they accept the file, they process it. They email us back, and then we can deliver to you. That process can take, once we send it in, can take as short a time as 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Could take as long as 4 months. Most of them all, about a month, month and a half.
You know what? And this is why you should start the process now, because when I did it, I think we were about 9 months.
Yeah, we were 8, 9 months when you did yours.
But I was thankful when it came in. Yeah. But getting the process started. Now, the reason that people should be interested in suppressors or silencers, mm-hmm. as they say it, again, Hollywood made them, called them silencers. People thought, pew, pew, and that was going to be the sound of the shot. Explain the other benefits, and Charlie's a good student here, Cowboy Charlie. Listen to why. I mean, yeah, there's help for ear protection, and I just realized, even shooting with no ear protection at all, I got Apple AirPods, and there's a hearing test on there.
Yeah.
I've got great hearing. I had a ladyfinger firecracker blow up in my ear, not in, but close to my ear when I was 7, and I lost 75%, so it did heal. But yes, the hearing protection is definitely something, but go ahead.
So suppression as a whole, doesn't matter what caliber you're putting it on and everything, it has percentages of the sonic, the crack that happens. Even if you shoot, if you have a suppressed weapon and you're shooting a sonic projectile, something that's moving faster than 1,050 foot a second, that will break the sound barrier. We will mitigate that rearward sound wave that actually, you know, causes your ears to ring. That's a sound wave that hits your eardrum. And it makes your ears ring, gets you tinnitus, all that fun stuff.
Because the gases are coming back?
Yeah, it's actually a sound wave. It's not gas. It's so on a raw muzzle, it's like a double crown. One develops forward, one kind of develops rearward.
Right.
The rearward developing one with a suppressor on your barrel is eliminated. So we push it all forward. Now, if you shoot a 9mm and you've got 147 grain projectile or better, we shoot a lot of 156, 158s. So the projectile stays subsonic. So the projectile is moving slower than 1,050 foot a second. So I bend the atmosphere, I don't break it.
Wow.
So that's your sonic. You break the, you know, break the sound barrier. So then it's just a mitigation of that air burst. So inside that suppressor, it's called roll turbulation. I spin the gases up, I cool them off, and then I release them without impeding the projectile. It flies true to the target.
Still lethal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do not try this at home. But, yeah, so everything happens like normal. Your gun with the right suppressor on it will still operate and function just as it would without it. But now your ears aren't ringing.
Right.
That rearward sound wave doesn't happen. Some people will tell you that, a suppressor is going to make your gun more accurate. It really doesn't, but what it does is it takes that micro flinch out because you're not getting smacked every time with that sound wave.
Right.
So you steady the weapon a little more, you're a little more focused on target, so that will generate into, hopefully, a better target, you know, a shooting solution with your group on your target. Now, if it's a rifle, if it's a pistol, they do shotguns now, too. But
hold on.
Yeah.
Suppressing the shotgun?
Yes. Makes it quieter, makes it hearing safe. Not movie quiet, not John Wick stuff, but it's it definitely brings it down to, so in the industry we call hearing safe level is sub 140, 140 decibel.
Okay.
It's kind of an arbitrary number because 140 decibels to me is not as aggravating to somebody, 140 decibels is, but it's definitely well under the threshold of raw muzzle where you're definitely going to have hearing issues. So you're stabilizing it on, like, say, a good bolt-action rifle. Let's say, like, a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308. Suppression needs two-thirds of recoil. So instead of having a muzzle brake on the end of your barrel that's actually going to make it louder because it becomes an air brake trying to pull that forward, every time you pull the trigger and that bullet goes down, those gases are technically trying to rip that can off the front. So it's pulling it forward,
right.
So it reduces recoil. So to throw a number, it eats about two-thirds of recoil. So I can eat recoil, but I can make it quieter, where a brake would eat recoil and make it louder.
Okay, so it does help with accuracy.
Yes, but it doesn't make the... So a lot of people, it's going to make it more accurate. Like, it's going to make the projectile more accurate.
No.
It makes the platform easier to control, then it should actually translate into better accuracy.
I love when he talks like this.
It makes sense.
It does. Okay, so of all the calibers that you suppress... Mm-hmm. What's the most popular one you sell?
So the magic ones that people are actually going to get subsonic ammo.
Yep.
So your 22. 9mm, 45 ACP. In like your AR platform, it's going to be a 300 blackout.
Okay.
There's some other calibers that you can kind of get. Like, I can do a 308 bolt action gun, and I can get you a 308 subsonic. Now, it's professional rock throwing, because I'm putting a 220 grain projectile out of a bolt action gun, and I'm moving it at about 1,000 foot a second, okay? Now, it's still moving, okay? But I can tell you that you can go down to Academy Sports and you can get a pellet gun that's going to push a 77 grain piece of pellet way faster than that. So, you know, but it doesn't have the grain weight on a punch.
Sure.
So on a bolt action 308 at 50 yards, okay? So if I have my gun zeroed at 100 with sonic ammo, at 50 yards, I'm pretty close to being on. But now if I push that target out to 100, I'm 30-ish inches low, because it's dropping. It's running out of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
So with subsonics, like people hunt with 300 blackout sub, but they're not taking a 400 yard shot. They're taking a nice close shot. It's very ethical. We've got good projectiles that open up and dispatch the deer, you know, in a very ethical way.
Yeah.
But they can be quiet about it. They're not making a ton of noise. So if they're hunting an environment where there are some houses and that, it's not as loud. They're not just being as disruptive, and they're protecting their hearing.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I'm curious about the energy.
Yeah.
You talked about a 220 grain 308 subsonic. Yeah. So you're pushing around 1,050 feet per second. So at 50 yards, so you get about 750 pounds of energy?
You definitely have a much more diminished, if you're... It's definitely enough to dispatch small game. I wouldn't necessarily run that on, you know, elk or anything big. No. You definitely want better knockdown power, better penetration, you know, and you want it through and through, so you're going to have two holes for your blood come out. But it's for target and for fun, I do a lot of 9mm.
Was that the most popular, would you say?
Yeah, and so there's more host, as far as just host weapons, there's more host weapons in 9 than you'll find in 45 with threaded barrels. And you can definitely get them in 45.
Sure.
It's not you can't. There's just more options there. So your 45, 230 grain ball, 45 ACP is subsonic factory anyway. It's just slower.
Oh, okay.
It's about 950. 975. So your sub on your 9mm, your 115 grain 9, which is your standard ball ammo you're going to find every Walmart, anywhere you want,
right?
That's sonic. That's breaking the sound barrier. So you've got to get to a grain weight of 147 grain or higher. And 147 was always the standard subsonic, but now we've transitioned up to, we've got 158, 156 grain. And these are commercially made. You can find them. We stock them, you know, but that slows it down into that 900 foot a second range, you know, 900, 950. And you get that utilization of your suppression. So we're not breaking the sound barrier. It's just an air burst. Gun cycles. Everything works with the gun. You're not taking too much force or ass out of the round where it's not going to cycle. And then the physics behind that is when you up the grain weight, it's a force counterforce. So 115 grain moves faster and it has a force to push it back. The 158 moves slower, but the mass has a generating factor of mass returning, so it still cycles the weapon.
Yeah, I definitely had the issues with my 22 because of the type of ammo that I was using. And then you lean me towards the CCI.
Yeah, and there's some rimfire stuff out there. It's called quiet, like CCI quiet, and that's only about 750 rounds, 750 foot a second. So it works good in bolt guns, but your semi stuff, you need a little more speed because we've got to get that actual, and you got to keep it clean too.
Rimfire,
that's the first thing people tell me. Rimfire is dirty, and they shoot it and it works great, and they shoot it and works great, and they shoot it and works great, and they're like, hey, my gun's not working. I'm like, did you clean it? Well, I thought it came clean.
You trained me well.
Yeah.
So I have a question about bullpups, because I've been thinking about getting one.
Okay.
All right. And one of the things I'm concerned about is the close proximity of the barrel to my head, and the sound that comes with it. So is it a bigger impact with a silencer or suppressor on a
With your bullpup? So your operational noise, we call it host noise. Whatever gun you have has a signature host noise.
Okay.
So with a bullpup, you're generally, so where you'd have the stock and then usually the action's technically right here. Now we're moving the action actually closer to the shoulder, closer to the shooter ear. It's going to have a host noise to it. So the sonic and the loudness up there, it's happening. So either we're going to suppress that. You're still going to, if you pop sonic, it's still going to push forward. The host noise on a bullpup is generally louder just because of the proximity to the ear. It's closer. Now, louder, not like unbearably loud. And actually, without the suppressor, that same noise happens. You just don't hear it because the noise of the muzzle brake or the muzzle in coming out is louder. So it just overrides that. So you'll actually notice the op sound or the host noise a little more with the suppressor on because it's not louder, but you can hear it more clearly.
Okay.
But not a bad choice. The thing with bullpups is just getting used to because the controls are so much closer. And usually if you're doing a mag fed, your magazine's behind where you're firing. So because they feed here, the ops here, this is a linked bar that goes
pointing,
back.
He's pointing to the back of his arm.
Yeah. Okay. There's a trigger bar that actually operates. I'm used to TV. But it's just the mechanics on how the gun works. But they still work. They still shoot. I always pull trigger, go bang, repeat. Does it do that? Yes. Okay. Then the gun's working. And then we move on to other problems.
If this conversation hasn't convinced you that Jesse at Razorback is the guy and his whole crew is the guy when it comes to information about making a decision like that. The one thing that shocked me when I was getting into the suppressor world for my little 22, I had a Smith & Wesson Sportsman 22 AR style was, oh, I can put that same suppressor on a 22 pistol, like a Walther or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was interchangeable, so the different platforms accept that same suppressor.
Yep.
So, all right, we are back on location at Razorback Armory. We are just east of 270 on Manchester Road. If you've never been here, you've got to come in. Don't forget to mention the significant sale going on for your benefits when you buy a SIG firearm, a pistol, or a long gun, or
suppressor.
A suppressor. That's all part of the deal. Come in and see Jesse and his crew. And now we continue with this conversation that I should be taking notes. But, hey, we can go back on the Odyssey app and rewind if we need to, just like you can.
So you're thinking about upgrading to another suppressor for a different caliber. When you do the process through the E4,
ooh, good question.
Does it take longer for your second, or is it shorter time frame for your second suppressor than your first because you've already been approved?
No, not with the government. So on my side,
imagine that.
Yeah, on my side, so the initial meeting is going to take between 40 minutes to an hour. That's for me to develop all your accounts and everything. Once I have your accounts developed, I manage your accounts, and we don't have to do that again. I don't fingerprint you each time. Your photograph's good for 12 months. You buy something today, you don't buy something for 3 years. I take another photograph of you in 3 years. Now, also, I'm going to have to manage your account. What that means, and I'll give the secret out to the rest of the people who do this, ATF changes exactly what they're looking for, the format they're looking for, and how the information is delivered. So you have to go in and take the data that you've collected and massage it and give it to them how they want it. So if you do that, everything works fine. But we don't have to redevelop. I'm not going to re-fingerprint you and all that. If you came in today and bought one suppressor, we send it in. You can come in today and buy five suppressors. It's five separate files that go in. And it's all over the board, meaning you could get one in 24 hours, you could get one in a month, you get one in 3 months. They're supposed to do what's called batching, where they clear you. They should look and see if you have anything else in queue and clear those out because you've already, your background check's good.
Right,
we should just knock all this off.
Yep.
Usually pretty good at it. The automated system, again, is somewhat flawed. We have to work with it. And you just kind of hope for the best. And again, if you crest that 4 months, I got a way to fix them.
He calls Elon directly.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, because guns go bang and they're really loud and they're startling, is there any advised training for unprotected? Because when you're in the situation, you don't have hearing protection. How do you prepare?
You don't. And it's not worth the degradation to your hearing to train that way.
So just know it's going to happen.
Well, it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be, but I'll tell you that if you're ever in a situation where you do use your weapon, if you're just on the range and you shoot, and it's all happened to all of us where you got your hearing protection off a little bit.
Right. Oh,
or
yeah.
You took yours off and this guy next to you, lights went off. You're like, wow, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Right, right.
If you're in a high anxiety situation and the gun goes off, it's not as loud as when you're not.
That's true. That is true.
You're everything, all your senses are rocking. Everything's going so much. Your adrenaline's flowing so much more. But in the moment, it's not going to be as devastating to you as when you're kind of calm at the range and somebody lights something off, or you set something off, your ears aren't on. It's not as bad as that, but it's not great.
That's a great way to explain it. Okay. I know we got to wrap this up. Yeah. I did want to ask, so is the first date you went on with this gal, are you still with her?
Yeah, it's been almost 15 years.
Oh, my gosh. It worked.
Yeah, she loves me.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me on Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors, in the missing of Mark Cox. You guys filled up this show great. Thank you for all the information. I always love talking to you. You know that, Jesse. Cowboy Charlie, it's been a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Please stop in to Razorback Armory, especially during the month of March. It is a significant sale. Make sure you mention that, and you will find out all the benefits you will get when you come in and see Jesse and Brad and their crew at Razorback Armory on Manchester Road, just east of 270. It is a fantastic place. You can also learn a lot at RazorbackArmory.com. Thank you. And have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.